The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
All right, I am ready to make my practice rock. What should I do? Tough question.
Great question.
Yeah, we'll get a little more into that when we do our listener. So used to the email format, our listener question this week. Welcome to Dental Practice Fixers Podcast. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow.
Dr. David Maddow, we have a great show for you today. Thank you so much for being part of this whole thing. Let's get right into it, Rich. What do you
think? Right down to it.
We received this question the other day. I promised this person we'd put it on the show. So here we go. Hi, Rich and Dave. I am 55 years old, been practicing for 27 years. I am finally ready to make my practice as good as it can be. Everyone has an opinion on what is the most important thing I can do to get back on the road to success. But I wanted to ask the guys that really know the answer to this question. So here it goes. Guys, what is the number one thing I can do in my practice? Thanks in advance. Doctor, he didn't say keep it private, so I'll go ahead and give his name. Okay. Dr. Ron Sherman.
Dr. Ron Sherman. You know, I have to admit, sometimes when Dennis asks to keep it private, we do just put a fake name out there. I'll do full disclosure rather than just say keep it anonymous.
Right.
It's just a little more fun. But I'd say about 50-50 that's the real name versus
the odds are about 50-50. Dr. Ron Sherman,
he's... Do we know where he's from? I'm just curious.
We don't really know. Okay. He didn't say.
All right, that's fine. Not that it would matter.
We'll give the same advice.
This question kind of reminds me of when someone says, like, I just have one question. It's six parts.
How about when somebody says, I just have a real quick question
right,
for you.
What does that generally mean?
It means you're going to be talking to that person for the next 2 hours.
Exactly. That's a...
But you know, I'm wondering
what he's been doing for the last 27 years that he's finally ready to take some action.
And we don't know about his practice, there's no more information other than he's been practicing for 27 years, and we just have to kind of guess.
Why the heck did you choose this question?
Why did I choose? Yeah. It's a great question because probably a lot of people are in this situation, getting closer to retirement. Yeah. Practice is kind of plodding along, doing okay, but they want to see more success because ultimately they're going to want to transition out somehow, sell the practice, bring an associate in,
of course.
And the practice has to be really good. You can't sell a crappy practice. I mean, you can.
You can. You'll get a crappy price.
You know, here's the thing, because a lot of docs, and we've talked to a lot that think this. They think that, I don't have a lot in my retirement account, but once I sell my practice, retirement.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately not as lucrative as people think.
It's just like everything else. Everybody that is ready to put their house on the market thinks it's worth more than it really is. Everybody that wants to sell a car wants to get more than they're going to get on the open market. It's kind of like, I looked on the internet and they said, my car's worth $22,500. So
sell it to the internet.
Exactly. The internet's not buying cars. And the internet's not buying dental practices.
Right.
And you know what else? The practice broker who's just trying to do a good job, whatever, who's told you your practice is worth $1.4 million, is not writing a check for $1.4 million. It winds up going on the market, and the market determines what your practice is worth. And it's usually less than you or your practice broker thinks. Many times, much less. So that's a great point.
But on the other hand, that Dr. Sherman is doing the right thing because he's 55. He's saying to himself, I finally want to get this practice going well. And that's really smart.
Yeah, I'm
really
glad you brought that up because, again, in our experience as coaches, it's never too late to call a coach or consultant, but sometimes it's pretty darn close. And when we hear from someone who says, I'm 66 years old and I feel like my health is starting to teeter a little bit, and I really can only see doing this for 5 more years. Oh, and by the way, I have nothing in savings. Well, you really should have started thinking about this 10 years ago. So, Ron, congratulations. You're 55. Let's assume that you're healthy and vigorous and still enjoy practicing. You made the right move starting. So that's maybe one great lesson right there. Right. Yeah. Right. Do it. You know, start thinking about improving your practice when you're 40, when you're 45, right. when you're 50, when you're 55. It's always good to think about it, but the sooner you think about it, the better.
You know what I think? I think a lot of these, we're both fathers and I'm a grandfather also. So I love the younger generation.
I have a grand dog.
Oh, you have a grand dog. Good, yeah. good. I think I have one too. Yeah, I do have one. But, we love kids. We love the younger generations. But I think a lot of young people have to experiment themselves first. They think they kind of think they know it all, and they want to do it. They want to make all the mistakes themselves. And then when they get to be maybe Ron's age or a little bit close to Ron's age, they say, you know, God, none of this. I'm doing okay, but I know I could do a lot better. What do I do? Where do I start?
Yeah,
so that's a lot.
I think, and again, I don't even know if I have an answer to this question. Maybe you do, but I think we're learning a lot of lessons from this question. And one is, the time to start is now.
Now,
you know, there's an old Chinese proverb that I'm probably going to get wrong, and that is something like, the best time to plant an oak tree was 100 years ago. The second best time is now,
right
now.
Right,
in other words, don't say, well, shoot, I made all these mistakes. Is it too late? Is it too late? No. If you want to do something, start now, because 5 years from now is going to be 5 years from now. And do you want to?
No matter how old you are.
Exactly.
Right.
So do you want to be in the same place 5 years from now, or do you want to be 5 years better? And the answer is always start now, whether you're a 35-year-old dentist or a 65-year-old dentist.
Totally agree. I mean, if you haven't done it, it's never too late.
But what's it?
So okay, so it? Do you have – and he asked, what is – We can't give like 20 things. Like what he said, what's the number one thing? What do you think the number one thing is that he can do?
What do you think?
Mine?
Sure.
I've got an opinion.
Let's hear.
I don't want this to sound like a sales pitch because you can use anybody you want. But I think by far, in our experience, 30 plus years of helping dentists, by far the number one thing is to bring somebody in as a coach or a consultant that's seen everything, that's done this a million times. They've got to be good. And again, you don't have to use us. Rich and I, we've been doing this a long time, but this is not an advertisement for us. If you want to use us, that's great, but you don't have to. But I think find somebody that's really good and knows their stuff and can look at every single thing going on in your practice and fine-tune it and improve it and make it better and hold you accountable. Because if you don't have anybody that's holding you accountable, you're kind of – it's a hit or miss. And I know in previous episodes we've talked about people trying to sell you like the latest and greatest marketing plan or the latest piece of equipment. Or
it's going to solve everything.
We talked about the pain machine.
Pain machine's our favorite, I think.
He thought that was going to solve all his practice woes. It doesn't.
It actually gave him pain.
It did.
It's a different kind of pain machine.
So, you know, look, we should start
calling all equipment the pain machine.
The pain machine.
A lot of times it winds up giving you pain.
Now, look, there are a lot of things you can do as far as improve your marketing. Maybe change communication skills, treatment planning. All that stuff's super, super important. Make sure your team is the best. But again, who is in charge? Who's quarterbacking? Who's experienced in seeing and overlooking every single thing that's going on in your practice? It's got to be a coach. And a lot of people say, well, that's very expensive. I can't afford that.
Being that person.
So look at it. You got to look at it as a return. You're going to get a return on your investment, especially if the person's good. You'll get a return. You're not paying $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month and it's going out the window and you're wasting it. No, you're paying that money. Your payroll in your dental practice is probably the highest expense overall in a dental,
your payroll should be.
But you can't say that I'm throwing that money out, because your employees, your team should be more than paying for themselves. When you're paying that money, they should be bringing more money in than you're paying. And if they're not, then you got trouble. If you're paying somebody a certain amount per year and they're not producing, or they're not bringing in something that's much more than that value of that, then that's a problem. And same thing with a coach. You're paying money, of course, but you're paying for experience. You're paying for somebody that's going to help you and improve your systems, improve your marketing, improve everything that's going on. It is so worth it to do that. I can't even say how worth it. It's just number one thing in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to say something along the same lines, maybe without talking about coaching directly. And that isn't, but again, this is from our experience as coaches, and Dr. Ron Sherman, everybody else. You need to see the big picture, because, you know, again, as we know from our experience, when people contact us, a lot of times I'll have a whole list of things like, I need more patient, more new patients. I want you to look at my website. I don't think it's really performing well. Is the sofa in the reception area, are the cushions soft enough? And then these get real more specific. I've got my dental assistant wants to take too much time off. And, you know, these are like putting out fire situations. These are little things. And sure, you can probably look at each line there and analyze it and come up with the answer. Yeah, I do need a new sofa. This one's all worn out. Yeah, I'm finally going to get the balls to fire my dental assistant because I've given her 5 chances to improve and she hasn't. And those are all things. Those are all good things. My website, yeah, it kind of sucks. I'm going to find the best website company I can and have it redone. Okay, that's great. That's great. Yeah. That's great. Right. But these are not big picture items. You know, big picture items are really some of the things that when you just take everything into account, you see the whole ball of wax, and then you figure out what changes can I make, not getting a new sofa, but what changes can I make in the way that approaching my patients, in the way that we're actually seeing new patients, in the way that my front desk people are scheduling, greeting, doing all these things to make the office better, in the way that we're diagnosing and presenting treatment. You know, how can we improve all these items to complete the big picture? And in my opinion, the big picture is pretty simple. And I think every dentist, I would say every single dentist we've ever met wants to enjoy their practice more and make more money. Mm-hmm. Now, enjoying your practice more might mean get rid of the patients you don't like seeing. It might mean having more time off. It might mean hiring an associate so you can only do the treatment that you want and you can not work Fridays and Wednesdays. Earning more money? Everybody wants to earn more money, let's face it, except maybe Bill Gates. But and those are the kinds of things that really can fall into place when you do see the entire huge big picture. And can a coach or consultant help you see that? Absolutely. A lot of times we get so mired down in getting that that crown margin right within 0.001 millimeters, and that's important, but that stops us from seeing the big picture.
I'll just add this, and I agree.
Please.
I agree with every single thing you just said.
Every single thing.
Everything. I can't talk through that. Every single thing. Did I say that?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, now, here's my answer to that. All kidding aside, it's got to be the right coach for your practice because having been doing this for a long time, we know there are some, if I can use this word, some really shitty ones out there. I hate to say it. We hear such horror stories about
people. I thought when you started saying shh, I thought you were going to say some shysters out there.
There's shysters out there too. But people get locked into these contracts they can't get out of, and they're paying a lot of money every month, and they're screwed, and we don't want to see that happen. So it's got to be – you can't just get any coach and everything's going to be fine. It's got to be the right person for you and your practice.
You can't get the coach with the biggest ad in Dental Economics Journal. That's usually a mistake.
Oh, my God. And any these days, anybody that has Facebook and starts a Facebook group, they call themselves a coach. And, you know, it's scary out there. But anyway, that would be my number one. You've got to get somebody that can quarterback and that knows everything and see.
Are they the coach or the quarterback? Let's get these football analogies correct here. I always give you a hard time.
I'd say they're going to be the coach.
I agree. Coach. I think the dentist is the quarterback.
Maybe.
The whole thing. The dentist is the quarterback. The office people, the receptionist, they're the front line.
Okay. Who's like
the offensive line?
Who's like the defensive coach? Who would that be?
The defensive coach? Do you have a defensive coach? What's the hygienist? Hygienist maybe is like the running back.
Would it be like – what is the like the dental supply company? Are they like the defensive coach?
They're the – they've supplied the uniforms, right? Is that what they do?
Oh, man.
Wow. Well, you know, it's a great question. And again, I think we both didn't want this to turn into an ad for coaching, certainly not for our coaching, even though we'd love to have you contact us. But – that really is a way to see the big picture, to have somebody else that's experienced, that has a good track record, as some people would say, to bring a fresh set of eyes in the practice. Look, this guy's been doing it for 27 years, and he's not happy with the way that things are going. I think that's a sign that he probably can't make the changes on his own.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to segue into this because Ron set this up perfectly for us. Ron, you're invited to come to one of our master classes. They're held in Baltimore, Maryland, generally, the Matto Center for Dental Practice Success. It's a full day where we talk about this exact type of thing with you and your colleagues. We keep these classes very small. small, focused, and by the end of the day, we will help you with what needs to be done in your practice exactly to take it to that next level where it sounds like you want to go. So attend one of our masterclasses. Ron, or anybody else watching this, simply go to masterclass.matto.com. I know we've got one coming up by the time this is published. It's going to be gone, but it's
and it's sold out.
It's
also
totally
yeah.
full.
Is it okay to say sold out when it's free? I think you can.
Sold out, or this one actually is super sold out. Can't get anybody else in, but it's masterclass.matto.com. Come join us and find out how you can really, if you're in that situation, how you can take your practice to that next level. Do it.
I totally, you know, it's funny. We were talking about big picture items and little picture items. You never hear little picture items. And this is a little picture item, but it's a simple one. And we recommend it to all of our coaching clients. And that is save money on your credit card processing every month. Why use a company that's charging a percentage overage when you can pay a small flat fee? Use Fat Merchant. We do. So many people, we've recommended to so many people that are happy, and you'll be happy too. So just go to bit.ly/fatmad. It's FATTMAD. Get some information from Fat. They just have you give some little information. They contact you. They show you exactly how to integrate Fat Merchant into your practice, give you the terminal for free. You'll be saving money the first time somebody pulls out their Visa or MasterCard. So check it out, Fat Merchant, bit.ly/FATTMAD.
And somebody misunderstood that the other day. Somebody said, wait, I'm trying to go to bitkey.com, but they couldn't go to bitkey. It's bit.ly. It's not bitkey. It's bit.ly, bit.ly, not
okay.
bitkey.
It's okay. Bitsy.
Should we do a call of the week?
Let's
I'm
do
really
the call
to get
of
into
the
this
week.
Now.
Let's do it. Okay.
Thank you for calling. If you are a new patient who has not yet visited an office, please press 1 to schedule your first appointment. If you are calling about dentures, including partials, replacing your existing dentures, or denture repairs, press 1 now. Otherwise, please stay on the line and we'll be right with you. Your call may be monitored or recorded for quality and training purposes.
Thank you for calling. This is speaking. May I have your name, please?
Hi, yes, this is Michael calling.
Thank you. May I call you Michael?
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you. And how may I be of assistance this morning, Michael?
I was just curious. I got a family of 4. We're trying to feed. My wife wanted me to ask, what's usually the best day of the week to have a new appointment for new patients for a family of 4?
Okay. And we would love to have you and your family come to our Columbia, South Carolina Sandhill office. And our later days are on Thursdays. We're open until 7 p.m., and we can do up to 2 people on the same day. We can't do more than that. So we could do 2-on-1, like 2-on-1, 2-on-the-other, vice versa. And is anybody at all having pain, bleeding, or swelling, or everyone's just looking to establish care?
Just establish care. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And may I have the ages, just make sure they meet our minimum age requirement there?
Oh, sure, sure. Little Jimmy is, let me see, I always forget, he's 4 years old. Justin is 8, and I am, I'm 43, my wife is 41.
Okay, and...
Am I too old for the practice? Is it maximum age?
No, there's no maximum at all. We can see everyone. Is Jimmy going to be turning 5 anytime soon?
I'm hoping within a year or so.
Okay. Because our minimum age requirement is 6 years old.
Oh,
that's why
I was
asking if he was going to be 5 anytime soon. Because sometimes our offices may, and I can certainly look in the area to see if any of our alternate are meeting that minimum age requirement for the 4-year-old, because I was going to look and see if there were any, like, 5, if he was going to be turning 5 soon.
He's, like, kind of a big 4. He'll be turning 5 pretty soon. He's a big 4. So he'll be turning 5 pretty soon. I think the end of the year, so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can schedule everyone else at this time. And for Jimmy, for now, until he meets our minimum age requirement, there may be like a pediatric dentistry in your area that would be able to accommodate the littlest one.
I see. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to, I just needed the information. I'm going to have my wife call back and she has the calendar and, I'm going to actually have her do all the scheduling if that's all right with you.
Oh, that's fine. All of our appointments, just so you are aware, are free to hold, cancel, and reschedule. I can always temporarily put something in place. That way there everyone's accounts are set up. And if it conflicts with the schedule, you can always just call back and reschedule or cancel at no cost as well.
Oh, that's really nice. Well, I could probably have her call back this afternoon. I just know that with soccer and everything and all the stuff coming up with, you know, the summer and everything, I have no idea.
Okay. Do you know, like, your schedule, if you'd like me to schedule just yours temporarily for now?
Well, I'm going to come in with my wife, Judy. So, I think it's probably better if she calls and get us all in and know we don't have to change anything around.
And if you would like, if I can always reach out to her at a certain time, if you provide her number, I could always reach out to her to be able to set up those appointments.
Oh, sure. I don't think she'd mind that at all. Sure. Are you ready? I'll give you her number.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Okay. And I will, is there a good time, do you think, for me to reach out to her?
Probably try any time after 11 a.m., I think. That'd be fine.
After 11?
I think that'd be fine, yeah.
I will certainly do that. And thank you so much for calling. And you try to enjoy the rest of your day and your week as well.
Thank you so much for your help. You've been very helpful and very kind. I do appreciate that, too. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Sure,
have
bye.
A good day.
Same to you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Okay.
That was a long call.
Okay, that was a little long. Sorry about that. And by the way, before we even get into the call, I know you realize this, but I try to match my accent. That was in South Carolina. So I try. Now, do you think she knows that that's not like a real good South Carolina accent? Or maybe I was coming from somewhere else.
I was wondering if she noticed that the accent kind of faded in and out from time to time.
And I got to work on that because, I would
do it. I got a South Carolina accent. You gave a Utah area code.
Because I'm from the South, but we lived in Utah just for a little bit. And now I'm coming back to South Carolina.
I don't think she noticed.
Maybe not. She didn't care.
Okay, good. I don't think she noticed anything.
You don't think so?
Here's my comment. My general comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I made a few notes as well.
Okay. Sure.
To me, she sounded like a trained robot. I mean, it was so obvious that she was following. And a lot of the things, and look, let's face it. My guess is some so-called expert in practice management, phone techniques or whatever, developed this script. And she's like sitting there reading a flowchart. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But I think this is where these kinds of things fall short. She sounded like a robot, like just somebody who was overly trained and stiff. I couldn't stand the way the first thing she said was, she was like, thank you for calling the dental office. May I have your name, please?
That was a little weird. That was a little trouble. Yeah, that was a little
weird. It's kind of like when you call AT&T or Verizon or something, and they always say, you can tell there's a script like, oh, I'm so sorry you're having that problem. I can definitely help you with that. And it's just, to me, it sounds so scripted and mechanical.
Right. Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. However, go ahead.
Is there any pain, bleeding, or swelling?
Well, I don't think she talked exactly like that. I know what you're saying. This sounded like it was rote. But she didn't really say it quite like that.
Yeah, of course, I'm exaggerating.
But
is there any pain?
She didn't have a big Southern accent. She was from Nebraska, I think. I was from the South. Well, I think she did better than 99% of the dental offices out there. Because let's face it, we don't really screen these, and if we call a good one, we let it go. We don't wait till somebody fails and does horribly. She did. I mean, we could talk a lot about the beginning of the call, but she did everything in her power to get me on that appointment book in some way. She tried with all her might.
Yeah, she even said, "Yeah, you can always call back and cancel,"
which I know that's a little questionable. I know. That makes it sound like it's so temporary. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
I think she was, to use this word, but I agree, better than 95% of the calls we make, because most people just would have let you go a minute later, not have gotten your contact information, never tried to make an appointment. So obviously, those things are head and shoulders above most of the calls we make. But to me, she just sounded like overly scripted, no warmth, But look, the bottom line is she did at least make a huge attempt to make an appointment, get your wife's contact information, do all those things. And that's a big plus.
You know, I'm not going to – we can't give away too much because our great producer, Rory, bleeped out every hint of – What kind of practice this was? So we don't want to get anybody in trouble. In fairness,
yeah, but I think it's obvious it wasn't just some solo practice, right?
It was a DSO type practice. Okay, so my point is though that yeah, maybe we don't really love the DSOs. We don't really believe in that whole concept, but they definitely had some professional person train their front desk team to get it to maximizing the amount of people in the appointment book. I think they now might not be exactly the way we would have done it, but it was pure training. It wasn't just some doctor standing around in the morning huddle saying, let's just try to get more people. It was a definite training that she went through.
I agree.
She did decently.
I mean, again, to your point, to me, she sounded overtrained and overscripted, which she lost all the warmth and the friendliness. And again, I think this is maybe one of the knocks on the DSOs, that they don't have that vibe that, hey, this is local dentist who really cares about you. And I didn't get that vibe at all from her. But she did do a lot of things right.
She did chuckle a little bit at the right time. Like when she said, well, Johnny's 4 years old. Is he going to be 5 anytime soon? And I said, well, he'll be 5 definitely within the next year. And she like hesitated. Then she went.
Yeah. I don't know if she got the joke or if she thought you were a moron. It's
maybe
hard
a little
to tell,
both. Right? I don't know.
Maybe both. Yeah,
but she did chuckle a little bit.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like purely robotic. She laughed at the right times.
I think maybe if you're not a DSO office and you listen to this, you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot of good things to do, but you can also add the warmth and the, you know, at least feigned spontaneity that you should have and really learn some good things from this call. Not try to duplicate it, but at least learn some techniques from it.
But I think we both have to agree she did everything in her power, whether we agree with how she did it, everything in her power to get me and part of my family or most of my family on that appointment book. She did everything she possibly could.
Okay.
She really did.
I'm going to give her a B+.
What are you – before I give my grade – actually, I'll give my – I was going to say the exact same thing. I think she deserves every bit of a B+.
Yeah.
What do you think about the age thing, about the smallest child? I can't remember my smallest child.
Yeah, they had to be – I think they had to be 5.
I think she said they had to be – I think she said 6, but if he's like almost 5, she might be able to fudge it a little bit.
Almost 5 doesn't sound like. I mean, if he has to be 6, where's
he's
that
fudging?
He's got to
be 6, but I think if he's 5, so there's some – I don't know.
He has to be 6, so if he's 5, we can see him.
She might be.
Very confusing.
But what do you think about that age requirement?
I don't know why they would do that. Why, you've got a family of 4 coming in, and there's a 4-year-old. Say, come on in.
Because she said, yeah, well, he might have to see a pediatric dentist. That could split the whole family up, and that could be the one deciding factor. So, we want to go somewhere where they can see everybody.
Exactly. Again, we're talking about – a large chain with policies up the yin-yang.
Right.
And that one I don't see. I mean, if they had a 1-year-old, they'd say, bring the 1-year-old in. They'll
get a
ride in the chair.
We'll take a look at him.
Give him some sugary candy to suck on so he gets rotten
teeth. We'll stick a tongue depressor down his throat.
Make him
bring
gag.
Bring him in. Make sure he's diapered. Bring the whole family
I don't care for that either. But I'm sure some lawyer in some corporate office came up with that reason.
Yeah, probably true. Yep. Okay, so we both say B+.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey, we will see you. And hopefully we'll give you an A on the next episode of the Dental Practice Fixers. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow.
Dr. David Maddow. See you next time.